The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The Exorcist, the re-release of the film The Exorcist, is tonight in some select cities and maybe across the nation. I don't know exactly where it's being shown, but I know that the new version of The Exorcist is being released tonight, and that it contains some 11 minutes of unseen footage, and that some of the footage that they've got in that film is actually pretty scary. And, of course, The Exorcist is considered to be, in the, if you believe the trailers of the movie, the scariest movie ever made. Or some people may say it's, you know, in the top five scariest movies ever made. I think Entertainment Weekly, in that book that they put out, you know, the top 100 films of all time, I think they have that as the greatest horror film ever made. It's getting a lot of attention. But horror movies have come a long way, and we've got on the line with us R.C. Collins. Is a we wanted to get a high school student, somebody who is familiar with films both yesterday and today. He's with us from Chatsworth, California. You take a film class at Chatsworth, R.C.?
Yes, sir. I'm a junior at Chatsworth High, and I take a film class.
Okay. The Exorcist, being released nationwide tonight, your feelings about that film and its place in film history, especially as a young person?
Well, I mean, I don't think that The Exorcist really is all that strong.
Really?
Yeah, because, first of all, you got to understand something. It was made back in 1973 when you didn't have to do as much to scare people. Today's audiences are more sophisticated. And as a result, you need to do more.
Well, when you say, hold on, R.C., when you say that today's audiences are more sophisticated and that you need to do more, okay, what do you mean? In other words, the...
Well, what I'm talking about, Phil, is that I believe young people today have been through more and they're not as scared of stuff as what old people were back in the 70s. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry, okay?
Because... Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Okay. Because,
what do you mean, the old people?
Well, I think what scares an old person back in 1973 won't even scare a young person today in the year 2000. Because what scared them back then is easier to scare them. Because...
All right, well, what you're basically saying is the world was a simpler place then, and...
Yeah, the world was a simpler place then, and it wasn't as scary then.
Okay, I remember reading press reports that when the movie Frankenstein came out back in 1931, it was so frightening to movie audiences that women ran out of the theater. They were so frightened of the film, and yet today you see the movie Frankenstein, the James Whale film. It's not that scary.
Well, I mean, that... Those movies from the 1931s, they're not even scary. I realized then they were scary, but today, kids today, we're much more savvy. We've seen the world. We're a lot smarter because we're taking more courses in school. The world is a much more complex place. It's going to take a little bit more than The Exorcist. And people were stupider back in the early 70s.
Okay, hold on for a minute. When you say people were stupid, you mean people were not as sophisticated?
No, I mean they were, I really believe they were not as smart as they are now. And
okay, R.C., if I can interrupt you, I asked you to make a list of 10 movies.
Yeah, and I just want to say one thing, Phil. I'm not trying to put down people today. I'm just saying... Or I mean people back then. I'm just saying that you were a little bit stupider. And
okay, well, but you're saying about my... See, I was in my early 20s when The Exorcist came out. I was like 21, okay? So I was stupid then? Because I'm still alive now.
No, I'm not saying you're stupider then than you are now. I think that's a fair assessment. But you're an intelligent man, obviously, because you do on the talk radio. But then you were stupider.
Okay, let's say today... Do you think I will be as scared of The Exorcist today as I was then?
You've already seen it, so it's very tough to know.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, because if you hadn't seen it and you went to see it today on account of you're not as stupid as you used to be, then you...
You know, it's the way you're putting that makes me sound like I'm an idiot.
No, I don't mean you're an idiot, but you're not as dumb as you were. You'd be scared of it.
All right, I asked you to put together a list of the 10 most frightening films of all time. You don't have a very high opinion of The Exorcist.
No, sir, I do not. I realize that back then a lot of people got scared, but again, I'm of the younger generation. We're not as scared.
Okay, I'm going to give our phone number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686, as we talk with R.C. Collins about The Exorcist and its place in the the pantheon, if you will, of horror films. Now, I asked you to make a list of the ten best horror films in your opinion, and you have that?
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay, can you read those to us?
I will, Phil. And
and also, RC,
yeah,
give us reasons why you like those movies.
All right, and I'm going to start from number 10 to number 1. I think that's an interesting device that you know, David Letterman uses, and I think it's an interesting device. Number 10, The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. The most awesome, awesome, awesome special effects, and the way the mummy, when they sucked the eyeballs out of that one guy, and his tongue got cut out too. And also...
Okay, the Mummy with Brendan Fraser, not Boris Karloff.
No, we're talking high-tech digital effects. When the scarabs eat that guy and everything.
All right, number 10, The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. Number 9.
Number 9, another nice homage to a brilliant film, Jaws. Number 9 for me, though, Phil, Lake Placid. Frightening, scary, scared the poo out of me. And Betty White, Phil, I want to say, has a nice turn in the film. Don't know what happened to Betty, but she's in the film. Kind of nice to see her. Kind of nice to see a nice turn from Betty White. And so that was awesome.
Okay, so Lake Placid, number 9, of the 10 most scary horror films ever made, according to R.C. Collins.
Well, you're saying that...
I just don't want people to think it's my list, R.C. I'm not saying it's a bad list, but I don't know if I disagree. What's number 8?
Number 8, The Haunting, the new one with Liam Neeson. The old one, black and white. Julie Harris, I couldn't sit through 10 minutes of it, but the new one is so cool because of the digital effects and the statues look at you, and one of them reached out and grabbed Liam Neeson, and it's bitching because it almost drowned him.
Okay, so number 8, the new version of The Haunting.
The new Haunting, yeah.
Number 7.
Film number 7, again, a great film, the one that number 9 pays homage to, the one that scared the poo out of a lot of people. I saw it for the first time 3 years ago on DVD. I'm talking about Jaws. Steven Spielberg's brilliant summertime horror fantasy. You'll never want to be in the water again, is what they said.
Okay, so that's...
Number 7's Jaws.
Number 7. Number 6.
Number 6 is not an original, but a sequel. I Don't Know What You Did Last Summer is one of the great horror movies of all time. But... the sequel, I Still Don't Know What You Did Last Summer, is it...
It's called I Still Know What...
I'm sorry, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
I Still Don't Know What You Did Last Summer.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. That's a great one.
Okay, let's move this along because we've got to take a break. What about number 5?
Number 5, great, great movie, awesome special effects, kind of a nice turn from Dennis Miller, Bordello of Blood. I think a lot of people would agree with that one. It'd be on anybody's top 10 list.
All right, number 4.
Number 4, the first Friday the 13th, when Kevin Bacon gets a spear stuck through him in the bed. That's pretty bitchin'. An original slasher epic. And
okay, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Sure.
Friday the 13th is considered by most people to be a complete ripoff of the Halloween concept.
No, I don't think so, because Halloween took place in a town, and Friday the 13th takes place at a lake. So, you know...
Yeah, but I mean the whole slasher thing with a mask...
No, I don't see it.
You don't see that?
No, I don't. And I think Friday the 13th was way, way more scary and gory, and that's why I've got it on the list.
All right, number 3.
Number 3, one of the most underrated horror movies ever made. Totally awesome. Beats, totally beats Silence of the Lambs and that single white female. Bridget Fonda still doesn't get the credit she deserves, and the other woman, too.
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah, that movie way beats Silence of the Lambs, and I keep telling people that. I go to people, I go, single white female, single white female, single white female, and my friends still think Silence of the Lambs is better.
Okay. Number two, you know, I got to tell you something. I haven't heard one thing on here that I agree with.
That's because I expected that, Mr. Henry.
Why?
Because you're older, because you're of a generation that doesn't understand what the new generation want to have.
Okay. Number two.
Number two, hands down, Pet Sematary. Scariest movie I ever seen with, you know, with pets in it. And also that...
What do you mean, scariest movie you ever saw with pets in it?
No, but I'm just saying, when the girl had meningitis, that was scary.
Okay. Number one, I haven't heard Exorcist on this list at all.
Phil, Exorcist is a good movie, but these are greater movies. The number one best movie, Predator. With
Jesse the Body, that thing?
Yeah, I was bitching. The Invisible Predator? That was bitching. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, too. There it is, my top 10 list. And
you don't have Exorcist on there at all?
No, I do not.
And the reason is that it doesn't hold up.
Exorcist does not hold up. It's really not very good, and it doesn't scare.
Now, when did you first see The Exorcist? You're very young. You're 16, so I want to know when you saw it.
I have not yet seen The Exorcist.
Okay.
But wait a minute. I saw trailers. I saw the Billy Crystal opening to the Academy Awards where the girl throw up on him. So,
you haven't even seen the movie.
No, but I don't need to see it. No horror movie that old can possibly be scary.
I would seriously recommend that you see the movie before...
See, Mr. Henry, people were easier to scare back in the olden days. There's no way.
There's no way it'll scare you.
No way at all.
All right, R.C.
And I say that with all due respect, but you got to remember...
I got it. I was stupider back then.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, hold on for a minute. All right, R.C. Collins with his top 10 list of horror movies. Number 10... of all time, The Mummy starring Brendan Fraser. Number 9, Lake Placid. Betty White has a nice turn, according to RC. Number 8, The Haunting. Number 7, Jaws. Number 6, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. What? Number 5, Bordello of Blood. Number 4, Friday the 13th, the first one. And get a load of this one. Number 3, Single White Female. Number 2, Pet Sematary. And the greatest horror movie of all time, number 1, Predator? Something's wrong, man. Oh, we'll be back with R.C. Collins. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686. This is the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins, who is a student, a junior at Chatsworth High School here in Southern California. And you are taking a, my understanding, R.C., a film class?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, you're taking a film class that does what?
Well, it's film appreciation, and it's about appreciating a movie. And
well, because a lot of these films, you know...
Well, Mr. Henry, if I could interrupt you... I mean, you're not a film student, correct?
No, but I do have opinions.
But I am taking a film class, and I would hope that there would be some respect accorded to me because I do know a little bit about what I talk about.
And well, I have to tell you, I don't agree, whether you've taken a film class or not, with Predator being the scariest movie ever made, and Single White Female, that should be on the list of the 10 worst horror movies ever made.
See it right there. There you go.
There I go, what?
It just shows you don't know what you're talking about.
Because why a single white female? Never mind, I'm going to take a phone call.
Yeah, I think when you talk to the people out there, you'll understand.
Well, I'll just take a phone call. I don't know why you got that on the list, though. Here is West Los Angeles on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to comment. His list is terrible. I'm 21. I go to UCLA. And I have a lot of film students, friends, and they all love
Do you go to film class?
I said my friend.
No, but you don't.
No, I don't.
All right, so
I
what has that got to do with anything?
Because I have friends that study film as
I
their
study
major,
films
and
too.
They're graduating.
I study films, too.
Well, you're a junior in high school.
What, so?
I'm a senior in college. I think there's a little bit of a difference there.
No, but I'm studying film. You're a senior in college taking whatever you're taking, but you're not taking film.
But
and
everyone
I'm telling
I know,
you right now, the
regardless of film, Lake Placid was comical. The
Lake,
whole point of the thing was
I'm
to be
afraid,
comical. It was funny.
Did you see it?
Yes.
You didn't see The Exorcist.
I saw The Exorcist, and The Exorcist was great. I've seen every movie on your list, and I wouldn't think not one of those movies
was
scary.
There's only one scene in The Exorcist that I think is interesting, and that's where she's using
the
crucifix.
But if you haven't seen it, how are you going to comment
on it? Wait a minute. If you haven't seen it, how do you know about the crucifix scene?
Because Chris Sorensen's a friend of mine. He reviewed the film for me and told me that that scene was hot.
So it's okay for you to bring your friends into the picture, but I can't bring people who studied it for 4 years or more.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Do you feel your female friends, just your female friends, are qualified to comment on how sexual the scene with Linda Blair and the crucifix is? I don't think so. By the same token...
Whoa. Linda Blair, when she's hurting herself with the crucifix?
I wouldn't call it hurting myself.
She's stabbing herself with a crucifix.
You
call
haven't seen it.
That's very hot.
Hot? It's nuts. It's insane. Hot.
That's just ridiculous.
Okay,
I don't see how you said
all right,
woman...
Great. Miami on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Hot. Miami, hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I'm
Chris
calling
Sorensen out. Chris said it was hot.
Great.
I saw The Exorcist when I was young, about 14 or 15, and let me tell you something. I love horror movies, and I love scary movies. And one movie, I'm already 43 years old by now, and one movie I cannot face myself to see again is The Exorcist. I can never see anything again.
Are you trying to tell me the way she pukes up the guacamole dip scares you?
No, not the guacamole dip, but all the scenes about The Exorcist itself. It's scary.
Okay,
you haven't watched the movie, then watch the movie, and then you can give your opinion
about
it.
Well, wait a minute. Here's an interesting aspect.
Well, the lady is right. She was a 13-year-old when she saw this.
But wait a minute. She is Hispanic.
I'm 43
now. That's an important thing, because the Indian in you is scared of it. The superstitious Indian in you is scared of The Exorcist.
You haven't watched it. How can you talk about it then?
Because it's all about
Lake
driving
Placid,
out demons.
My 7-year-old was listening to the show right now. She goes, Mom, that movie was funny. How could you say it's scary?
It's scary
Pet
as hell.
Cemetery, you know, when I did a Pet Cemetery, I crawled up next to my husband under the bed. I scared the hell out of him because I thought the movie was ridiculous.
The movie is absolutely frightening.
Lake Placid.
Lake Placid scares the crap out of you.
No, it doesn't.
And Bordello,
my 7-year-old.
Bordello of Blood. Okay, wait a second. I'll go down the list. Bordello of Blood.
You know one that you left out, which I have an 18-year-old.
Yeah, forget about what I left out. What about the movie I mentioned, Bordello of Blood?
I haven't seen that one.
There you go. You don't. Single white female.
That's not scary.
Oh, you're
a nut.
What
you left out, which I have an 18-year-old in the University.
I'll tell you right now.
And he loves scary movies.
What about the scene in Single White Female where she puts the spike heel right through Steven Weber's head? That's fantastic.
The what?
In Single White Female, Jennifer Jason Leigh sticks a spike heel right through Steven Weber's head. I applauded.
My mother stuck a spike heel on my father's head. You kidding?
Your father stuck a what through your mother's what?
All right.
My mother hit my father with a heel on his head. So what's so scary about that?
But did it go into his skull?
Well, didn't go in, but...
All right. Thanks a lot. Look at RC.
All I'm saying is, Phil... You gotta go see Predator to really appreciate.
I saw Predator on TV the other night, man. It ain't bad, but it ain't great. It's not number one horror movie of all time. And Single White Female, yeah, you're right. When Steven Weber gets the heel through his head, I applauded too. But other than that, well, I did. And The Haunting? What a pile. I laughed when Liam Neeson got pulled into that bloody water and.
Okay, you don't understand film. I won't waste my time.
Thank you. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, everybody. I want you all to get up on your feet. All y'all, man, get off work. Get down. Sit down. Get on the floor. Just get way down there. But it's all time now for Darryl Weber, Funky Chicken Cacophony, and Liquor Jamboree. Darryl Weber, one of the foremost minds in blues music today. One of the all-time greatest disc jockeys. This cat was down there with Rufus Thomas in Memphis years ago. This cat's gonna lay it down. He's gonna put it down. And he's gonna keep it there. Now, Darryl Weber, everybody.
All right, thanks a lot, Shiggy. It's all right. Everything's gonna be all right because I'm Darryl Weber's on the scene, baby. I'm gonna play some blues for you tonight like you've never heard. I'm gonna get down. I'm going to get way down. I want to make all you people howl at the moon. You're going to get some cat scratch fever. You're going to be going through garbage cans when I get done with you. Y'all going to take a little bit of Southern in you, too, you know? All that big city, big sophisticated downtown, downstairs, subterranean bar, man up there with a microphone and a cheap Fender guitar. Speaking of garbage cans, by the way, my wife has got to stop going through ours. But anyway... All right, everybody, let's get together now, man. Put your hands together. Here's a beautiful thing from Lightning Hopkins. This is called Catfish Blues. Yeah! All right!
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Wow, 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 wow. Get take a request. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, man. What is this, man? It's out of sight.
Yeah, it's some kind of funky Delta thing.
Yeah, it sounds like the Delta, man. It's all right. Am I on the air?
No. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's got compone. That got collard greens and black-eyed peas written all over it, man. That's a quarter for a Coca-Cola. Yeah. All right, let's take another request here. How you doing tonight, darling?
I'm doing all right. And listen, girl, I want to hear a song. I want to hear a song called Milk Calf Blues. Milk Cow Calf Blues from Robert Johnson.
You know I want to do that right now for you. Here's Robert Johnson on the Darryl Weber Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. This is the blues, man. Man, I got it bad tonight, all right? I got it bad tonight. Yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody check in now.
Yo, man, I'm checking in for the night ward, baby. I'm laying down tonight, man. I want to say hello to all my homes, all my houses, all of my model homes. Everybody out there, man, tonight.
All right, then, we go here out to somebody else. Are you checking in?
I'm checking in tonight, man. Say, you are on fire. God. Jeez, holy sweet. Check it out, man.
Yo, yo, one eye, sleepy. Check it out. Turn the radio on, man. I'm on right now.
He's got a gun.
Sorry, I lost the connection. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, now I'm going to get Reverend Pete in here now and tell us what's going on in the community. Reverend Pete.
Pete telling you to come up on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. There's going to be a dance at the Armory. DJ Catfish Jones is going to be playing, putting out some good sounds for you all. Come in and dance, you know. Going to be barbecue and everything else. Yeah!
I love being black.
My kind of music.
Let's take another request here. How's it going?
Yo, Darryl, man, how about if you play
a vocal?
Yeah, yeah. How about a vocal, man?
I got a vocal coming up for you right now here on the Darryl Weber Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. Now, when you all talk about some blues singing, you all talk about shouting out, witnessing all that, you know, and you all ain't talking about Billy Eckstein, Sarah Vaughan, Big Mama Thornton, man. Check out, listen to this man well. This is some, man, this is just, you know, right out of the cotton field, falling off of a flat car blues.
This is what I'm talking about. This is it.
Is it, brother?
Yeah.
All right. I'm having fun.
You're listening to Daryl Weber's Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. If you're white, please understand you've stumbled upon black programming. They won't mind if you patronize their sponsors.
Yeah. I heard what that white man said. I heard him. I know he's hired by the radio station. I know. Yeah!
Yo, Daryl, man, I thought you'd play a vocal.
Well, Sid, there's a man sitting on the front of this thing. He's sitting there looking off a rock. I don't know.
Well, I thought this was a vocal, man. Oh, is it? God damn it, man. I hate being lied to, especially by a brother, man.
Daryl Weber, Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. Let's take that piece of crap off, all right? That ain't going on no place, man. When I say I want a vocal, I want to hear a man sing. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear a man sing. Well, let's get down on some good instrumental, man. Here's some good guitar playing here, man. This is Eric Gale. I got George Benson. I got some of the best guitar players, Lead Belly, all of them laying it down right here now on a Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. This is some funky blues. To do a live read for Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle House. They got great food. Go there. Back to the music.
Yeah, man, I was waiting for this one, man. This is out of sight, man. This is out of sight. Every time I feel blue, I feel low down and rotten. I always love to hear the national anthem, man. It just picks me right up, yeah.
I love to hear some old British drinking song, man.
Yeah! Go Michael Johnson!
All right, that's a pile of crap. All right, this is Daryl Weber, everybody. If you got something you want to hear, you give me a call. I can lay it out there for you, put it on, I can take it off. I can whip it off. I can measure myself for a bigger size, whatever you want. It's all coming your way here. Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree here, the Daryl Weber Show. And don't forget, I want to see all out there at the Armory. Yeah, that's right. The Armory is going to be happening, and it's going to be happening on Tuesday, October 3rd. Then they'll tear the Armory down because they don't want us coming back into the place, all right? So you go there and have fun because I'm going to be home sleeping.
Here's the story.
Yeah!
Of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
Uh-huh, that's right, that's right.
Well, then a hair of gold, like their mother.
Word.
The youngest one in curls.
Ho, ho, ho.
Here's the story of a man named Brady.
Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. This is Daryl Weber, baby. If you'll check it out, the sound. Find out from DJ Penny. What's happening, man?
Everything's going to be beautiful this coming weekend. You might see Daryl Weber, Funky Chicken Cacophony. It's coming live. Live. If you can start his car this morning, coming live to your hometown.
It'll be all right.
Hi,
you're on here.
Hi. This bet you're doing is really patently racist. I'm white, and I want to protect black people. From themselves, mostly.
Thank you. All right, Daryl Weber, Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. We won't be back on the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. I was just sitting here thinking how tough I am to work for because I've got a nice crew of people, but I am I'm pretty bad, aren't I? Aren't I mean to you? Melissa's nodding her head up and down, but she has a basic insecurity about that stuff. Mike, on the other hand, is very thick-skinned, so he shakes his head no. So I got to go to the tiebreaker and go to Craig, who says...
What?
Yeah, he's stoned. Craig's stoned and drunk. Can I just make this observation before we go to the end of the road here on today's show? And that is internet radio. Huh? Who's listening to it and why? These questions and more will not be answered because nobody seems to understand what that is. I guess someday it's going to be quite the rage. I have no doubt in my mind that someday internet radio will have a place in our lives. I say that just being kind. I have no idea.
where internet radio is going to fall. I know digital radio is certainly a part of our future, but digital radio is, you can get that in your car and a car radio. But internet radio stations, you might as well be writing a column for the internet for all the money you're going to make and all the attention anybody's paying to you. Now, I know that there's a local station here in Los Angeles that just went on the internet. I wouldn't know about it if it wasn't repeatedly advertised by the local press. There's an internet station that used to be over the air, and now it's an internet station over the air. Internet. Who goes home and boots up to listen to the radio? I'll tell you who, and it's a sad thing, but only radio dorks and geeks, people who live, breathe, eat, and crap radio. In other words, people that come to my CD signings. And those are not people, with all due respect, that you want to spend a lot of time with. I had a friend of mine programmed a radio station once in San Francisco. He said he got 10,000 pieces of fan mail the first month. When the ratings came out, they were in the toilet. He said, I found out that not only did we get 10,000 pieces of fan mail, that's how many listeners we had, 10,000. Really active listeners calling all the time, writing you letters, people that you know, you're grateful for, but you can't pay any attention to them because they really don't represent anything. Just their own weird, skewed, possessed, obsessed, nutso, cuckoo lifestyle. Now we go to internet stations, and I got to be honest with you, I'm in the business. So I go to broadcast.com. I do weird things. I look for the flagship station of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and listen to their morning show. It's weird crap like that. But I'm in the business. Naturally, I do that stuff. But I'll see internet shows. I'm going to have to start checking some of these out. Because I just saw where, what's her name from the Brady Bunch? Sue Olson? She's on an internet show now. And I thought, oh, God, you must really want to do radio bad. Let me tell you something. My hat's off to all of you guys. I hope there's people listening to it. I don't know who they are. But if I were you and you get any listeners while working at an internet station, be thankful for them, but just don't spend any time with them. And for God's sake, don't allow any of them into the studio, and don't go out and do any signings. Hi, I listen to you on the internet. God, get away from me. See, you know what I'd wind up doing? I'd wind up shooting everybody in my audience. I would just, you know, hi, Phil, you listen to me on the internet? Yeah. Pow, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. All five of you are dead. Now I have no audience. But you know what? I did the world a favor. Don't you think? Do you listen to internet stations? I don't listen to none of that crap. And what is that? Are there commercials? I'm going to run home and boot up and listen to the radio. I'm going to listen to that. I'm telling you, there's something going on there. You know, I don't know. Now, internet radio, like cable radio network, there was one of those. And I think it was an internet service or it might have been a cable service. I'm not sure. They were the very first people who approached me about syndicating my show. They were going to put me on the cable. And Mike Schaefer, my producer here, he says he did a show on one of those cable. In 1992, you did a cable show. Let me guess, was it called the Mike Schaefer Show? And on it, you played a whole lot of Government Mule, I bet. It was sad. Did you get paid? Was there anything at all? No. If you do anything on the internet, you don't get paid unless you're William Shatner and then you've already cashed in your stock. Other than that, other than Bill Shatner, you ain't getting paid for nothing, man. And the only people that are paying any attention to you are really obsessed net geeks. And net geeks are about the only people on the internet anymore. Because I'll tell you something. Statistics show that internet use drops after 6 months. People go online, noodle around for a long time, and then boom, they split. And that's kind of a sad thing, considering all of that wonderful programming that's available to them. Not. Here, we just picked this up off the internet. Listen to this.
Yes, and I would like for you to listen. You've had your say. I would like for you to listen.
You know
and
this
keep
music?
That music off. You're playing that music.
Yeah, will you turn that music off, please?
I like it. It relaxes me.
Well, no, you don't like it. You're afraid of the truth. That's why you play it.
I like that music.
Because your butt's going to be kicked. You're afraid of the truth. Now, you're talking about the priest. Wait a minute.
Are you the devil? You're the devil, aren't you? You're the devil.
It's my time.
Your time.
Now, you were saying you witnessed demons. I've witnessed them come out, too. And
I saw a demon come out a week ago
Tuesday. I've even heard them hit the door after they went out. I've witnessed this.
Are you putting me on?
No, I'm not putting you on.
What do you mean, hit the door?
That when they went out, hit the door and kept going.
What do you mean, sir? They slammed the door or they...
No, they was in these people and they was cast out and we heard them go out of the door, out of the room.
Right.
Now,
wait a minute. You wrote the book, Dr. Sadler. Why don't you listen to this man? You wrote a book about demonic possession.
What did you mean? Hit the door.
Don't play dumb.
Well, what
you
about in the movie? No, I know what you're saying, but what about in the movie when the demon goes into that priest out of that little
That's
girl?
That's a movie.
And he throws himself out of a window.
That's a movie. And
well,
now you're bragging on priests so much.
Right.
They got so much power. How come they're some of the biggest scandalists as far as practicing homosexuality? Why can't they get that out of themselves?
Well, what are you saying?
If they're so strong and if they're so powerful, how come they can't do that?
Because they don't want to.
All right, then that means it's a bunch of crap and they're nothing
but
the devil themselves.
First of all,
that's all. No, no,
are
no,
you saying
that
queer?
Ain't no, first of all.
You're saying a queer can't
God
get the devil
not
out.
God deal in anything.
I'm going to turn the music
not
on.
Deal in anything.
I'm turning the music on.
You got to be worthy of it.
Ah, that got you.
He do not deal in anything. So you're full of a bunch of crap.
But wait a minute. You know that priests exercise demons, okay? Because they got a booklet that tells them how to do it.
You keep coming out of book. I'm coming out of reality.
No.
Not no book.
Well, what, oh, sir, you're a... have you witnessed demonic possession, sir?
I've witnessed them come out of people before.
Yes? And did you see a priest or a minister or someone drive it out of the person?
These was not no priests. They was Pentecostal preachers.
Oh, they were preachers.
No, that's baloney. Pentecostal
it's
preachers, nah, they can't do jack squat. I've seen those guys work. They're no good.
Pentecostal preachers are no good.
Nah, they don't have the book.
The book?
You got to have the little exorcism book like Max von Sydow had in the movie.
Well, they don't do it, but
what
well,
kind
they don't
of
a... need a book. Because when they do it, they're being led by the Spirit of Christ.
How do you know that
see,
this
you're
guy...
See, you're stuck on the book.
How
I'm
do you know...
naturally.
Can I ask you a question,
actually
sir?
Actually seeing this.
How do
I'm
you
not
know...
talking about fiction.
All right, I understand. But how do you know that the person they were exercising a demon from didn't have the measles or chicken pox or something?
Because I know the measles and chicken pox when I see it. And it's not going to make you talk silly and say you're just another person inside that person, and you can actually witness it.
Okay, how do you know that it wasn't? They weren't drunk?
Because I know they weren't drunk.
Well, how do you know they weren't
because
drunk?
Because there's a difference between being drunk by alcohol and there's another personality in you. It's a difference.
You know, in my
we're in a world of knowledge, not ignorance.
Benny Hinn couldn't even get a
I'm
beer.
I'm not worrying about Benny Hinn.
But well, you know that
you
know as well as I do.
Before you knock him, why don't you go sit on there?
But you know that Benny couldn't get a can of beer out of the refrigerator,
before
let alone a demon
him,
out of a possessor.
Why don't you go sit on there?
Sit under him?
Yeah, go sit in his service before you knock it.
Benny couldn't get his
if
own
you
lunch.
Just talk. Go try it.
He
see.
Couldn't get a stain out of the rug.
Try it and see.
Bet you this music's bugging.
Who's Benny Hinn? You guys are leaving me in the dust. Who is he?
He's a big-time Pentecostal preacher. He goes around healing, and you're healing thousands and casting out devils, and this man here is just knocking on him because he's
in other
got
words,
fiction.
Yeah, in other
and
words,
Benny
Phil.
Is actually doing it live. You can
Phil,
actually witness it.
Benny Hinn's as nutty as two coats of paint.
Why you
this
haven't
guy.
Been to it?
Huh?
Why you haven't been in the service?
Because I've seen Catholic priests
you,
do it. They
yeah,
get
but
butt.
You need to go see him do it.
Why do I need to see an amateur like him when I could go watch a pro like that Cardinal Spellman? Did you see
but
that guy
fiction.
With a big red... Huh?
It's all fiction and made up.
That guy Cardinal Sheen, man, that guy had a robe on. He looked like a fairy walking
but
around out there
in
on
a
TV.
Movie, right?
No, Cardinal Bishop Sheen was a real guy. And he wore this big cape. He looked like Dracula. He was beautiful. And
well,
are you sure you've written a book about demonic possession? You sound like an idiot.
I beg your pardon?
You sound like an idiot. Will you turn that music off? I'm sorry, sir. I don't mean to yell, but I got these...
Boy, get a load of you. You're touchy.
He needs them demons cast out of him.
Phil Hendry.